welcome in Lurgan this morning. He's been the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship, which is a Baptist church in the city of Nashville, for how many years? 35 years. And so he's faithfully ministered the Word of God. As I've said, he's the author of many, many books, one of which is entitled The Red Sea Rules, that some of you have read and found so helpful. And recently we did a series here on the 23rd Psalm, and Robert has just brought out a beautiful devotional book on the 23rd Psalm. He was kind enough some years ago to commend one of my books, the book of Jonah, by writing a little blurb on the back cover. And he invited me to preach in his own church in the year 2005. And John Clark and I made our way to Nashville and then to Atlanta. And we had a wonderful weekend in his church. And so it's a joy to have him with us this morning to minister the Word of God. And we trust that he'll feel perfectly at home in our midst as he comes to speak to us now. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here. I love your pastor. We've known one another for many years. And we loved it when he came and preached and taught for us in Nashville, Tennessee. And I've always enjoyed his books and his fellowship and have a great deal of respect for him and for the ministry that I know he has had here. He asked me back in 2005, I couldn't remember what time it was, but he asked me to come here and to preach, and I don't remember what happened. We talked about it, and I never could work it out. But here, after all of these years, I have this opportunity. And so I'm very grateful and grateful for you and what a wonderful church this is. We had a wonderful time here last night. We appreciate your facilities and the way you shared this room with Child Evangelism Fellowship. I've been here this week with CEF. This is a tremendous ministry. I know all of you are supporters of it and you're familiar with it. But we know that around the world, children are in crisis. And most people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe 70 or 80% of them, come while they are children, between the ages of 4 and 5 or 14 and 15, somewhere in that block of time. And to be able to reach children and to help them establish a spiritual foundation in life is maybe the most important and greatest ministry that we can ever go about. And we do it in our church, but CEF goes into the communities of children all over the world. And they take the gospel there to young people at a very important moment in their lives. And so to be able to come over and to encourage the work of CEF Ireland has been a great joy of mine this week as well. And also I've taken a little bit of time for sightseeing. You have a beautiful area. Everyone has always told me how beautiful Ireland and Northern Ireland is. And people who are friends of mine have been here before and they say, just wait till you go. It is so beautiful, and it absolutely is beautiful. I have enjoyed every moment and have been able to do some hiking and looking around and driving around, and it's just lovely. Every part, every section that I see takes my breath away, and you're so fortunate to live in a place as beautiful as this. And really, I've had good weather. Now, people tell me that it rains quite a bit here. But it's been lovely, and look at the sunshine outside today. And so I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity for being here in your church. And also I appreciate Dennis mentioning my books. I would love for you to go to Amazon. Most of my books are there available for downloading. You can get them easily. We don't have to ship them across the water. You can just go to Amazon and look for them. You can search by my name, Robert J. Morgan. Also, I have a website, RobertJMorgan.com, and my books are available there. And one of the books that I'm working on now, in fact, I've worked on it this week quite a bit while I've been here. The deadline is due next month. But it's a book on the subject of strength, on personal strength. And that's really what I want to speak about this morning. And I want to tell you how this book began to form in my mind. It was sort of a little bit unusual. But my wife is in a wheelchair. She has multiple sclerosis. And we were at home earlier this year, or maybe it was last year, and we were on the porch and looking out over the mountains. We have a place in the mountains. And she said to me, she said, Robert, will you bring me that bottle of extra strength painkillers out of the kitchen. And I got up. I said, yes, I will. Do you have a headache? And she said, no. She said, I just need some extra strength. And I looked at her because I thought she was kidding, but she wasn't. And I went and got the bottle and I looked at it. And it did say extra strength pain reliever. But the biggest words were extra strength. And so I was feeling a little tired, so I took a couple of pills and gave a couple to her. And we both felt like later that we got a little bit of extra strength. Not that we recommend the habit. But I began thinking, because of that little incident, where do we find extra strength in life? And I took my Bible and I looked up all of the occurrences of the word strength and strengthened. I didn't have time or the energy or the strength to look up all of the other references with words like strong and power and might and energy, all of these words the Bible uses. I just looked up the word strength and I found about 250 references in the Bible, and I went through them and chose 12 of them, and I just adopted them for my wife and me as our extra strength verses. And one of them I want to share with you today, and it's in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. The fifth book of the Bible, and chapter 33 and verse 25. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now look at that last phrase. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Or your strength will equal your days. And what this is telling us, I believe, it's a promise from God that as long as He keeps us on this planet, as long as He keeps us alive on planet Earth, we will always have sufficient strength day by day to do the work He assigns and to bear the burdens that He allows. There will never be a day in which God assigns us to do something without giving us the strength for it, or that gives us a burden to bear without giving us the necessary energy in our hearts to carry it. As your days, so shall your strength be. Now, I believe that the Lord assigns our work to us in one-day increments. I wake up every morning and have my coffee and read my Bible and have my prayer time and do a little scripture memory. I talk to the children about memorizing scripture, but I still do it. It takes me longer, but I hope all of you are memorizing some verse of the Bible right now. But I have my devotions in the morning with my Bible study and prayer and scripture memory. And then I say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I look at my obligations and my calendar, and I look at my list of things to do. I keep a little to-do list. Maybe you do too. And I just try to plan out for that day what I believe God wants me to do. I can't plan next year's work or next decade's work. I can't even plan sometimes next week's work. I can have a calendar and think about what may be happening in the future. But the Lord assigns our work to us in one-day increments. And the promise here in Deuteronomy 33:25 is that we will always have adequate strength to do the work that God assigns and to bear the burdens that He allows as long as we're on this planet. Now, it may be there's a day in which we're sick and we're in the bed all day long, and that may represent, for some reason that we don't understand, God's will for us for that day. But we will have the strength we need to lie in the bed and to recover. Or there may be a day in which we're on holiday and we're resting, but we will have the strength we need to rest. There are other days that may have great challenges to them. There may be things that happen during the course of the day that we don't even expect, and they hit us like a ton of bricks. But the promise here is that nothing will ever happen without the Lord giving us the sufficient strength that we need to carry on that task, to do that work, to pursue that labor, to bear that burden as your days are, so shall your strength be. There's an old gospel hymn about this. We don't know exactly who wrote it, but it's a famous hymn because every verse of that hymn is based on a different verse of Scripture. And it's the hymn, "Have firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?" And one of the verses is based on the verse that I quoted a few moments ago to the children. "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." And then there's a verse that says, "In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land or the sea, as your days may demand, shall your strength ever be." And that comes from Deuteronomy 33:25, a wonderful verse about personal strength. As your days are, so shall your strength be. But that's the verse. What about the context? And to whom was it originally given? And what can we learn from a good Bible study about this verse? And that's what I'd like to show you. I don't know if you have ever heard a sermon on the subject of the tribe of Asher before. I know that your pastor is a wonderful expositor of the Scripture, and I've read his books and listened to his sermons. Has he ever preached on the tribe of Asher? I never had in all of my life in ministry until I looked at this particular verse. But I want to share with you something about the tribe of Asher, A-S-H-E-R. This is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and this was the tribe that received this particular promise. And as I studied it in the Bible, I found four different references to the man Asher and to his tribe that were significant references. And I want to show these four to you because it gives us the context. And the first one is in the book of Genesis, chapter 30. So turn with me to Genesis and chapter number 30. This is the story of the birth of Jacob's 12 sons. And those 12 sons became the progenitors for the 12 tribes of Israel. And in Genesis 30 and verse 12, we have the story of the birth of this boy named Asher. It says in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 12, "And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, 'Happy,'" look at that, "'happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.' And she called his name Asher." Asher is the Hebrew word that means happy. So here we had a baby born, and they called him Happy. That was his name. What a name that is. If someone's name is Happy, I've known a person or two, a lady whose name was Joy, and I've heard of a couple of guys whose sort of nickname was Happy. But if you grew up with the name Happy, you couldn't afford to be sad, could you? You would have to live up to your name. This is the first time the word Happy occurs in the Bible. And they named this little boy Happy, not because he was happy himself, but because he made other people happy. Here, Leah and Zilpah and the family, they were so happy when this boy was born that they just named him Happy. Now, we don't know if his temperament really was happy as he grew older. We don't have that information in the Bible. But Jewish rabbinical literature tells us that he was, in fact, a very well-temperamented young man. And that with all of the problems that the brothers, the sons of Jacob, had, he was a reconciler. He tried to keep things together. He was a peacemaker. We have that from tradition. So we have the idea here that he did live up to his name. But when he was born, that was his name. And so the tribe that came from the son of Jacob named Asher was called the tribe of Asher, or the happy tribe. So among the 12 tribes of Israel, one of them was happy, at least in name. Now let's turn over to Genesis chapter 49. Because here Jacob, the old man, is dying on his deathbed. He calls his 12 sons around him and he gives them all his blessings. And so Jacob goes from son to son and gives to each one his dying blessing. And look at verse 20. This is the blessing to Asher. Genesis 49 and verse 20. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. In other words, his food will be rich. And he shall yield royal dainties. In other words, the tribe of Asher will produce food that is fit for a king. The prediction here that Jacob was making about Asher is that Asher would become the producer. Oh, excuse me, I haven't sneezed all day. It was time for my morning sneeze. I'm allergic and I take allergy shots and it takes care of me in Tennessee, but you have a couple of plants and flowers here in Ireland not covered by my shot, so I've been sneezing every morning. So I apologize from that. It might be some pollen that came in from the fields of Asher. So Asher became a tremendous agricultural expert. And he produced many, many wonderful delicacies, particularly, as we know from history, olives and olive oil. So that out of the tribe of Asher came foodstuffs and agricultural products that were really rich and fit for a king. Jacob, who must have known that Asher was good at growing things, gave this as his blessing to him. And so then Jacob passed away, and what happened? Well, then we had the children of Jacob going down to Egypt. You know the story of how they were enslaved there for many, many years. And then Moses came and led them out. And by this time, the tribe of Asher had multiplied to be a very large group of people. About 50,000 young men of that tribe were numbered in the book of Numbers as being capable of serving in the military. So from this one man named Happy came this tremendous tribe that was a part of the Exodus. And so Moses led them through the wilderness. They got to the edge of the promised land 40 years later. And then Moses did the same thing at the end of his life that Jacob had done at the end of his. Moses, before he went up on the mountain and disappeared and passed away, blessed each one of the 12 tribes of Israel the way that Jacob had blessed each one of their forefathers, the 12 patriarchs of Jacob. And so the story of the blessing that Moses gave to the tribe of Asher is our primary text in Deuteronomy 33. So let's go back to that chapter, Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 24. If you look at this chapter, you see that Moses goes from tribe to tribe and he blesses each one the way that Jacob did at the end of Genesis. And in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy and verse 24, it says, "And of Asher, he, being Moses, said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil." One of the translations says, "Let him bathe his feet in oil." Now, this is very interesting. And do you know that there's all kinds of views about this, but there is a petroleum company which has been digging for oil in Israel. You know, there's a lot of oil in the Arab countries around Israel, but there has not been a major discovery of oil within Israel. But there was an oil executive who saw this verse and said the tribe of Asher was given territory and the promise is that he shall dip his foot in oil. There must be oil in the territory that represents the ancient tribal land of Asher, and they have literally dug for oil based on this verse. Now, I don't think that's what this verse means. This is talking about olive oil. This is going along with the context that both Jacob and Moses said that Asher is going to have a very fertile stripe of territory, a strip of land, a patch of land, and it's going to be just marvelous for the growing of olives. And there's going to be a great harvest of olives. And they will have so much olive oil, they will bathe their feet in oil. And in those days, they would crush olives in a number of ways. But when the olives were, you know, mature enough to do it, then they would put them in large vats and they would stomp them the way that you would stomp grapes. So you've seen pictures in Italy or other places when they, maybe you do it here, I don't know. They have a vineyard and you put all of these grapes in a vat and you get in it in your bare feet and you push down. I've never done it. I don't know that I'd want to drink any grape juice that came from somebody's feet, but they crush those grapes with their feet and it yields the juice. Well, with olives, they would do the same thing, only they would, the olives are a lot harder, of course, than grapes are. So they would have special shoes made out of brass and iron. And they would put on these shoes and crush the olives and it would yield the oil. Well, look at this verse. It says, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren and let him dip his foot in oil. His shoes, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. So this has to do with the production of wonderful agricultural products. And in fact, that is exactly what happened when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. Asher was allocated a piece of land along the Mediterranean coast from about the current city of Haifa in Jerusalem, in Israel. Your pastor has been there. Maybe you have. Haifa. And all the way up to Tyre in southern Lebanon. And this was a very fertile and productive territory within ancient Israel, and it was known for its olive orchards, and so it just flowed with olive oil. And so what Moses said was to the tribe of Asher, may you have a lot of children and a very productive strip of land in which you can grow olives, and may you have shoes of iron and brass and press out these olives, and may your feet just be bathed in olive oil. And as your days are, so shall your strength be. May you have the strength to press out those olives. May you have the strength to be productive. May you have the strength to fulfill the potential that God has given to you in that territory. Whatever it is that God has allocated for you, whatever your territory is, may you have the strength to do it as your days are, so shall your strength be. Isn't that a wonderful promise for all of us? And then he doesn't, and there he goes on in verse number 26 to say, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What a wonderful promise that is. I used to think of the everlasting arms like a safety net at a circus. I noticed in Belfast when we were driving around the Russian circuses in town. Well, I've been to some circuses and the high trapeze artists, it just terrifies me to see them fly through the air and they'll fall in the net if they miss, you know, getting the trapeze as it goes by. And I've always thought of this verse as there is a safety net there. If we miss our grip, we'll land in the everlasting arms. But of course, Moses had never been to the circus. And I think now, having studied this more carefully, he was thinking in shepherding terms. Because he said in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that the eternal God carries us in his arms the way a shepherd would carry a lamb. And I know you have a lot of sheep here, and I've grown sheep in the past, or raised sheep in the past. And with a little lamb, you just get it in your arms and you carry it close to your heart. And underneath that sheep are strong arms. And I think that's what this references to. The eternal God is your refuge. He's your shepherd. And underneath you, carrying you, bearing you along, are the everlasting arms. So this is the promise to the tribe of Asher. So in the book of Genesis 30, he is born and he is called happy. And then in chapter 49 of Genesis, he receives a blessing from Jacob, and the blessing is that his food will be rich, and he will provide food and food products fit for a king. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, Moses says, may your strength be equal to your days as you crush out the olives and bathe your feet in oil, and may the eternal God be your refuge, and underneath you be the everlasting arms. And then there is not much else about Asher in the Old Testament. He's listed here and there with the other tribes, but nothing in particular said about him in the Old Testament or in the New, except for one little story. Can you guess where it is? It's in the New Testament. Can you guess where? It's connected with the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Look with me at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 36. Because when Joseph and Mary took Jesus into the temple to have him dedicated shortly after his birth, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, it says, Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, and there was one, Anna, a lady, Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phineal of the tribe of, look at this, Asher, the happy tribe. And she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him who was him, Jesus, the newborn, spake of him to all of them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so the last reference we have to the tribe of Asher in the Bible, apart from the reference in the book of Revelation when the 12 tribes are all written on the gates of the New Jerusalem, the last real story we have about Asher is one descendant of this happy boy, many, many years later, who had been prepared by the Lord, who did the greatest work that she ever did in a very advanced age, and who was there in the temple in the providence of God when Joseph and Mary brought in that baby, and the old fellow Simeon was there, and Anna was there, and she looked at him, and she preached and taught about the redemption that everyone had been waiting for, which now was there. She had the opportunity of welcoming the Savior and of sharing his message with everyone who is within earshot and even with us as we read these verses 2,000 years later. So that's the tribe of Asher and the promise of Deuteronomy 33:25. Now let's put it together very quickly in closing with these 4 points. Because I believe that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we know him as our Savior, there is a sense in which we become honorary members of the tribe of Asher. In fact, I am today just going to induct all of you into the tribe of Asher. So, you know, I'm not going to have you repeat after me, but we're all just going to become, because we are in Christ, we're going to become honorary members of the tribe of Asher, because I believe these promises are for you and me. They're given to Asher in the Bible, but through Christ they become our possession as well. So here's my points. Number one is when you come to Christ, you join a happy tribe. There's a happiness and a joy that comes into our lives because of Christ that nobody else in all of the world has. There is joy, and our names are happy. I mean, the middle name that you have when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ is happy, because the Bible tells us that he brings us great joy. When he was born, the angel said it was a message of good tidings of great joy into all of the world. And the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And a couple of years ago, when I was feeling blue and discouraged, I went through the Bible and looked up every reference of the words joy and gladness and happy and cheerfulness. And there were 750 some odd verses devoted to that. And I couldn't pursue them all or look at it. I was just overwhelmed with the number of them. But I came away thinking that it is our duty and our obligation as followers of Jesus Christ to be happy people in a world in which there is so much sadness. There is very little reason for us to be despondent. I know the circumstances of life batter us down, and there are times when we feel like we've just been punched in the stomach, and we have to recover some from those times. But the basic attitude of the Christian, the sustained attitude, should be that of joy. The Bible says, come into his gates with joy, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and be thankful unto him. And so we must have joy in our lives that make other people ask us a reason for the hope that is within us, because we belong to a happy tribe. Secondly, we are blessed in Jesus Christ with the oil of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this oil bathes our feet as we go out with the beautiful feet and take the gospel of Christ with other people. And when Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, he sent back the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit anoints us and possesses us and fills us. And the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, always giving thanks unto God the Father for all things through the name of Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in fear and reverence of God. And so the work of the Holy Spirit, which is emblemized in the Bible as oil, is a part of our inheritance as honorary members of the tribe of Asher. And then thirdly, we have got a baby to introduce to the world. When we become members of the tribe of Asher, we follow in the footsteps of Anna. And we go out into this world every day with a message of Jesus Christ. This is a world that needs him very badly. All of us have become alarmed about how secularized and atheistic and agnostic our world has been. And this may be the most difficult time in history for us to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and hold up the cross of Christ and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. But that's exciting to me. I mean, there is a clear distinction now between people who are Christians and people who are not. We're living in a dark world and the light can be seen. We're living in a sad world and true joy can be seen. We're living in a tragic world and those who have hope within them can be seen. And so as we go out into the world every day, and we're around family members and co-workers and fellow students who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is no time to be timid. This is a time to stand up and hold up our Bibles, and in a very appropriate and respectful but fearless way, say, I've got a message for the world that everybody needs to know. And there is life and there is hope nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there could be somebody here today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You don't know if you were to die today, if you'd go to heaven or hell. And the Bible teaches that Christ died on the cross and rose again so that by his blood he can come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins and become our Lord and our Savior and give us everlasting life. And once we've experienced this, then we want to find ways of sharing it with other people. Giving out books, giving out literature, sharing a word of testimony, putting a scripture verse in a text or in an email or maybe in a little card that you send to somebody, inviting people to church, finding Christian events, and inviting them to, finding children you can bring to child evangelism fellowship functions, doing all of the things that we can do. You never know when one little seed that you plant may produce a harvest you may not ever know about it, because it may occur somewhere else or later that the harvest occurs, but you've planted the seed, and in heaven they'll say to you, I'm in heaven now because of this word that you gave, or this gift that you gave, or this literature that you distributed. And we'll never know about it until we get to heaven in many cases. But what a blessing to get there and see the chain reaction of blessings that has come out of the ministry that God has given to us. And so we are a happy tribe, number one. We're blessed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, number two. We have a baby to introduce to the world, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, number three. And number four, as we go about this, our strength will equal our days. God will give us enough strength to do what he calls us to do. He's got a plan for your life. Psalm 139 and verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." And so God has a plan for you, and He knows what every day is going to bring, and He knows what He wants you to do, and not a single day is wasted when you are fully yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're at work or on holiday, whether you're sick or you're well, whether you're poor or you're rich, it doesn't matter. Every day there is something that He wants you to do, and we wake up in the morning and we say, "Lord, another day to serve You." Whether you're in ministry or whether you're in some profession, you know, you don't have to be in full-time vocational ministry to be in ministry. All of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are doing the work that He has called us to do wherever it is that He places us. And as our days are, so shall our strength be. So I think we can claim this promise for ourselves. We can say, "It was given to Asher, and through Jesus Christ, I'm just going to become an honorary member of the tribe of Asher. And I'm going to be happy. I've got an obligation to live joyfully. And I am blessed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. It bathes not just my feet, but all of me and all of my heart. And I've got a child, a Christ child, a message of redemption to introduce to the world, a risen Savior. And as I go about doing it, as long as the Lord keeps me on this planet, my strength will equal my days." And I can say, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as your days may demand, shall your strength ever be." Will you bow your heads, please, for prayer?